Thank you, Mr. Cathcart, for delaying your presentation. What we're going to do today is that, for most of you, you know that Mr. Cathcart does the capital construction budget. We're going to delay that to a later time, probably on Thursday, along with the employee market pay schedule that was suggested by both governors. We'll discuss that also because that will take more time. So with that, our interim director, Mr. Cathcart, please present.
Keep me right. I'm Rich Cathcart. I'm Administrator of State Construction Management and General Services Division. I'm also currently the Interim Director of ANI, which I thought would be a breeze, but turns out there's more to that than meets the eye. I have a pretty good staff of folks with me. I'm not well-versed on all the things that ANI does. However, we brought the experts along. Here with me is Chris Boswell. He's advisor to Governor Mead, but ultimately going to be ANI director. Rory Horsley is ANI chief financial officer here to my right. She knows about all the numbers and all of that. If we get questions on any of that, I think we can rely on her to give us the good answers. Bob Von Wolfrat is here. He's chief information officer. Along with him is John Hartwig. He's ANI Administrator of IT. Richard Cox, Budget Administrator, is here. Dean Fassett, Human Resources Division Administrator. We were here coming prepared to talk about the HR stuff. Ralph Hayes is also here. He's HR Manager of Employee Group Insurance. There's an issue in this budget for them, which will be on Thursday also. And Veronica Skaransky, you met her this morning. She's Executive Director of Professional Licensing Boards. I don't know if Veronica's here now. You've already visited with her. So, Madam Chairman, with that, we'll start through the ANI budget starting on page 11. And the first item on the budget request is spending authority for depreciation reserve monies to purchase 55 mid-size sedans that were inadvertently missed during the budget session. So these are add-on, plus five new vehicles for the five new elected officials, which comes to $1,232,000 of depreciation reserve funds. Any questions on any of that?
Senator Meyer.
Madam Chairman, Rich, this is probably the proper place. We had a department in today that said that you guys have some vans in the cargo vans in the pool, but they were requesting their own cargo van because they said there just isn't enough to go around. And so we're going to get a little more information back from them about exactly how much they need to use that. But if you could get some information for us on the cargo vans that you have in the pool and whether or not we're kind of getting the straight scoop on whether those vans are available or these guys just want pride of ownership on a new van would be nice. And it might be after we do that analysis and maybe some of those sedans we might move one of those into a cargo van or something like that, because if what they say that there really is that need out there, I think they're only going to use that van of theirs one or two days a week. It doesn't make sense, to give them a new van when somebody else could be using it two or three days a week too. So that's something, just a little fine-tuning we might do on your vehicle purchases.
Madam Chairman, Senator Meyer, I don't know how many cargo vans we have in the motor pool that are on a day use sort of scenario. What I do know, though, is agencies who need a cargo van sort of schedule them ahead of time. So we try to keep those cargo vans working as much as possible. You may not get it on Tuesday, but maybe you can have it on Thursday and so on. But I'll ask Annette how many cargo vans they have and if there appears to be a shortage. And hopefully I can answer that when I come back on Wednesday or Thursday. Is it Thursday?
I think it's going to be Thursday. But see here.
Okay.
Representative Esquibel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm sure this is a freshman question, but I don't think I've ever seen depreciation reserve funding. Is that where you're going to trade in the current vehicles and you get a certain amount of money off of the trade-in for the new ones you're going to buy?
Madam Chairman, MVMS operates much like, let's say, Hertz Rent-A-Car, only it's an in-state agency that owns and purchases all the vehicles for state government, even the vehicles that are out among the agencies as permanently assigned vehicles to Department of Health or anybody else. Those vehicles are owned by Motor Vehicles. Then they lease those out to the agencies. Those agencies include that money in their budgets, and they pay the lease on those back to MVMS. That creates the depreciation reserve account, and that typically covers the depreciation on the vehicle. So when they turn one in to get a new one, the amount that they've paid in on the previous vehicle for two or three or four years typically will cover the cost of getting a new one, and it comes out of that pot of money.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Sure. Senator Von Platern.
Thank you. Mr. Cathcart, we've got about 6.2 now with this addition to that depreciation fund has been reserve, has been spent. Could you give us an idea how large this reserve is?
Well, Madam Chairman, I can't give you an idea, Senator Von Fittern, but I have somebody here who can.
Ms. Horsley?
Madam Chairwoman, Senator, the cash balance right now is about $6.8 million. In that reserve account, and we're just actually starting the purchasing of the replacement vehicles that were initially requested in the budget request last year.
Mr. Cathcart, can you give me a little information on historically what we've done when there's been a transition in administration, for example, a new governor or a new secretary of state, et cetera, what the policy has been? And also, I'm curious about hybrids, or if we are looking at vehicles that are natural gas, or what is our policy on that at this time? I know there had been a study on that earlier this year.
Madam Chairman, regarding hybrids, there is some policy that MVMS is trying to acquire a number of those to have enough of those vehicles in the pool that we can keep track of cost versus maintenance plus fuel costs, et cetera. At one time, hybrids were so expensive that, believe it or not, they were costing like $13,000 more than a comparable vehicle that wasn't a hybrid. At that time, I saw the numbers, and I don't recall exactly what they were, but I'm thinking you had to get almost 300,000 miles out of that vehicle to get the equivalent of value that you're getting on gasoline vehicles at $85,000 to $105,000. So, while we have some hybrids in the pool, we continue to buy some and keep them and just trying to keep track of our maintenance and how well they perform for the state. Other question was, and I forgot.
Replacement vehicles for newly elected officials.
Well, Madam Chairman, this is the first time I've been through a transition team that where we changed administrations. When Governor Friedenthal came into office, I was still on this committee. However, I think it's a fairly common practice that when the new officials come into office, they'll typically get a vehicle of their choice for the governor or secretary of state, all five of them, for a four-year duration. Sometimes the vehicles, they may want to keep it another 2 or 4 years. But typically this time, these vehicles that we have all been run for 4 years, probably close to being depreciated out.
And then how does it occur that we inadvertently miss 55 mid-sized sedans?
Madam Chairman, I don't have a clue how that happened. I spoke to Annette. She just said that there were a number of vehicles that were coming up with long mileage, but they weren't there yet, and they just didn't get them on the budget request for the last budget, the biennial budget. However, those vehicles are coming up now, and their mileage is out on them. They're depreciated out. And so ultimately there's 55 additional vehicles that would have been on the standard budget that are coming up on depreciation now.
And then, Mr. Director, would they have the price of $19,000 for the sedan? Is that a fairly accurate number?
Madam Chairman, these vehicles are spec'd. There's certain things they have to make them functional for the kinds of demands that state employees need. And they'll spec them out. Typically, I think $19,000 is probably a pretty good guess. We'll bid these vehicles out. I'm kind of proud to say, and although I had nothing to do with it, but I'd love to take credit for it, we've never bought a vehicle for MVMS from an out-of-state supplier. All of our in-state motor vehicle dealers get a shot to bid on them. And, boy, when we're approving purchases on vehicles, and I do that as part of my general services hat, they come from dealers all over the state.
Great. Good. Any further questions on this? I'm sorry. Senator Von Platerm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When you just used the term depreciated out, did you mean by they've rented out to the agencies long enough or they've just hit a certain mileage qualification? And then I have one other question after that.
Sure.
Madam Chairman, depreciation has to do with two things. One is the age of the vehicle. Some vehicles will get 3 or 4 years out of, while others maybe only 2 years, because when they hit about 85,000 miles between there and 120,000, they're pretty much depreciated out just on mileage. But there's two criteria, age and mileage. So we don't typically depreciate vehicles out and replace them if we have a three-year-old vehicle with only 40,000 miles on it.
Follow up on that. And Ms. Horsley, you said something about $6.8 million in the present balance, but that's drawing money every month, right? I'm curious how many vehicles are in that pool. That would be kind of interesting.
Ms. Horsley.
Madam Chair, that balance just represents the cash balance. It's not necessarily drawn on every month. It's basically drawn as vehicles come up for replacement. So typically what the manager of the motor pool will do, if she's got several vehicles to be replaced at one time, she tries to do a large bid out to the dealers so that multiple vehicles are being replaced, and so we might see one large draw on that account, but it's not necessarily a monthly draw.
So but it's constantly gaining money. I mean, are the agencies paying monthly? I don't know how the payment system works, but are they paying into that fund monthly?
Madam Chair, that is correct. The depreciation is a portion of the rates that are being charged to the agencies. Also, daily checkout rates have depreciation built into them, so we do a transfer monthly into that account.
Ms. Horsley, you might explain, too, how the MVS charges in all of the budgets that are proposed to us.
Agencies that have permanently assigned vehicles do have, as part of their standard budget, an amount that is transferred to Motor Pool each month. Motor Pool sends a monthly billing to them, actually comes through our office, our accounting office. It's a monthly billing that goes to those agencies, and so they're paying Motor Pool monthly for their permanently assigned vehicles. The agencies that don't have permanently assigned and need to check out a vehicle, say on a daily basis or a couple days here and there, that's also billed to them monthly as they have the need for those vehicles.
Follow up.
One other question. What we charge them, is it perpetual motion here? I mean, are we gaining about as much money back to buy the next one, or is there an average of 40% more we put in other funds, or does it 100% pay? Having no idea.
Madam Chairman, I know that the lease rates are being tweaked all the time. There's no point in having a lot more money in the depreciation reserve account than you need. So if for example, vehicles prices for some reason would go down or those lease rates that the agencies pay are based on what it costs to maintain the fleet. Did that answer your question, Senator?
Go ahead, Chair. I take from that when you put in, that we are putting in some other money to fund this eventually. It's not perpetual motion. In other words, it doesn't rotate out 50 vehicles every 2 years or so with no other income, because if you're also doing maintenance in there, I'd assume that we're not charging enough to cover capital and maintenance. And I don't know that. I'm just making that assumption.
Madam Chairman.
Mr. Director.
Senator Ron Flattern, the fees that are charged to the agencies are for possession and use of the vehicle. That also covers the depreciation, and also there's an amount in there for the maintenance. So I believe the motor pool is funded with depreciation reserve funds, and they do the routine maintenance on the vehicles. State agencies take their cars down to the shops and have the oil changed and tires rotated or new tires or whatever the vehicle needs.
See no further questions on this topic. Please move on to the next exception request.
Madam Chairman, the next item on the budget happens to be the Rockwell maintenance contract. I think we're going to pass on that one until Thursday,
we'll
discuss that during the CapCon budget.
Thank you, Mr. Cathcart.
Madam Chairman, the next item on the budget is supplemental request for additional funds for utility costs. There's a cost estimate in the utility pot that we're expecting that at the end of this biennium, we could come up about $300,000 short of being able to pay all of our utilities through the end of the biennium. We've added three buildings that we're paying utilities on since being the Rex Warehouse, which was a wonderful warehouse building that we bought for future home of the Liquor Commission. Another one is the Rockwell building, of course. And then the new state labs has come online now, and we've got to start paying utilities there. Those three facilities weren't figured in the original budget. However, Governor Friedenthal determined that at the end of the last biennium, we had $708,000 remaining in the utilities account. So he has denied this request. We're good with that. If we come up short at the end of the biennium, we'll cover it out of contingencies or governor's flex authority. And there's a possibility we'll be asking in the biennial budget for an amount to cover that with immediate spending authority on that amount to get through. But we're good with this. And by the way, Governor Meade concurs.
Rich, maybe you can cover that when you come back with CapCon, just in regard to utilities as we're planning out on capital construction, new facilities, and how we typically go about doing utilities, obviously the labs, for example.
Madam Chairman, and that's an issue, particularly with regard to the Rockwell building. When we purchased that building, it's a building that is owned and managed by A&I. But all of the A&I facilities are in the Capitol Complex pretty much. So it's a distant site, and we talked about a building manager, et cetera, on contract, and we'll talk more about that when we get there. However, there was some short-sightedness on our part when we bought that building. It didn't occur to us we had to operate it. So there was never any budget request to operate the building at the time we bought it. Madam Chairman, the next item on the agenda or on the budget is our human resources, insurance, market pay, and performance pay. Those three items we can lay back until Wednesday.
Mr. Cathcart, that's what we'll do on that.
Madam Chairman, the next item in the budget is information technology. They have some items here, and just so you know, when I read the first sentence of this, it's already going over my head, so I brought experts to explain to you why they need six servers and licensing costs and all of those things. This total request is funded out of the depreciation reserve account. Again, very similar to how motor vehicles work, the ANI provides IT to the agencies out there, and they pay for that. They build a depreciation reserve account to keep that cycle of newer and better things coming out of that depreciation reserve. Madam Chairman, I have folks here who can talk to this if you have questions. I'm very confident that I can't answer any of them.
So we should probably bring Mr. Hartwick up and Mr. Bob CIO up. If you want to change seats out for just a minute, that'd be great.
Madam Chairman, this is John Hartwig. He's ANI Administrator of IT.
Mr. Hartwig, good afternoon, and why don't you go ahead and explain your request for us?
Madam Chair, the request for the first virtual server environment, just for clarity there, the physical hardware or a box that you could put your hands on, there's new technology that's emerged in the last several years that allows you to virtually place more server instances or multiple servers on one box, so thus reducing the number of boxes. And so this request is to replace the virtual server environment with newer, higher-powered servers so that we can continue to use that environment for virtual servers. And in other words, what we currently have is we've got 80 servers that are running on our current virtual environment. This will allow us to increase that server account, so 33% of them will now be running on shared boxes or shared servers. With that, we're intending to also reduce the amount of servers that we would have in our inventory, so physical servers. And that starts to help with power footprints and different things in the data centers as far as how we can operate more efficiently. If there's any specific questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Senator Meyer.
I'm curious, and this is way over my head, so I hope that you understand what I'm asking. You hear, you know, things like cloud technology or different things like that, and I'm assuming that that's like you're using capacity, storage capacity over the internet to either augment or replace storage capacity or computing capacity. What's our footprint in that new type of technology, and what's our plans to proceed further in it, if it's viable?
The cloud technology is basically a shared resource in the internet that we can purchase servers, disk space, different types of entities will use that in different ways. You know, so our new platforms that we're looking at, we're still comparing cloud-based for certain applications. A good example is the email platforms where we're looking to put those in the cloud. There's also a lot of advantages to looking at disk space for temporary type servers. So if you're using or utilizing a test environment is ones we're looking at for cloud. Today we have limited cloud-based. We have substantial outsourced, which is a form of cloud. So you're basically accessing these devices through the internet. The internal servers generally tend to be file and print servers or unique applications to the agencies that we operate, as well as a lot of our management systems. And so, you know, what's the right way to utilize and leverage basically boils down to price, you know, and availability. So a lot of agencies are still reluctant to put all information in the cloud. Those robust services, ones that have a large market, like an email environment, tend to be a lot more robust in the cloud, therefore better secured, you know, better operated than if you were looking at some of the very unique services that we run on our servers internally. So it's really a balance. I don't know if I'm answering your question specifically. It's a great opportunity, but we're still heavily leveraged in internal and the outsourced environments on some of our major systems.
Yes, and it is, I guess, really, you have different price points where you can utilize that technology. I'm wondering if there's going to be a certain amount of savings, you know, down the road a couple of years, kind of what you're, if you've got any projections about what you think we might have in savings or if any savings at all will occur.
Mr. Hartwood.
Yes, Madam Chair. If we, you know, I don't have any specific projections. I can tell you that the vendors are very, very positive about the savings we'll have. I know that that's one of the things is we're in a market transition right now. And in a lot of contexts, I think your questions are right on, is what's the right mix? You know, if I can go externally and have the same service levels, the same quality, the same availability, and my information is safe and secure, and it's cheaper, that's where we should be looking. You know, and that's right where many, many organizations are right now, is balancing the two. We still have an inherent need internally that will continue for the foreseeable future. These are items that tend to live, servers, tend to live 3 to 4 years, and then they are ready for replacement. So, you know, I don't have a specific on which area is more cost-effective. We are seeing demonstrations of cost-effectiveness in large-scale services, and that's where you're using one thing for all 10,000 users, for example. That gives you a lot of benefits in the marketplace. And so those are the ones that the vendors seem to want to sell first.
I guess just kind of an anecdotal remark that I guess some fast food service restaurants are actually cloud-based ordering, you know, as you pull up and order your hamburger, using internet services that are based in other countries. So that seems to be relatively small usage, you know, in that one particular circumstance. You maybe have a half dozen employees that are actually utilizing the service, so I think that it might go, you know, a lot. I mean, I think the economies of scale that you're looking at now might actually diminish to where the economy of scale you know, you could probably use it in a lot more areas of application than what maybe we're currently contemplating. So, but I'm sure that we'll have a good idea in a year or two.
Yeah, as the market continues to mature, I would concur.
Madam Chairman, second part of the IT request, exception request, is for an additional, the first part was $287,688 out of the spending authority on depreciation reserve. Second part is for hardware switches, $300,000, again, out of the depreciation reserve. Questions on the switches?
Committee, any further questions? Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just have a couple questions. You mentioned that there were these older Novell servers that are no longer being supported, but that they are connected, or at least I think I heard that they are being used by agencies with very agency-specific systems. So is this upgrade going to throw them into some turmoil because their legacy systems aren't going to work with the new situation?
Mr. Hartwig?
Madam Chair. I would certainly hope it wouldn't be turmoil. It's certainly change. you know, the Windows environment or the Windows server environment is the choice and preference of many of the agencies. So in a lot of ways, these Novell servers, they have already started migration plans, and that includes ANI. We still have approximately 20 Novell servers in our fleet that ANI uses themselves. And so we have already had plans to migrate them to Windows, which is basically changing the operating environment to a different manufacturer. So within that context, there's change. What this proposes is to not only just move it into that new environment or different environment of Windows, but to move it into virtual servers at the same time to reduce the operating costs and expense. And so it will definitely be a change, but that's what we do. That's how we implement.
Continue.
My next question would be kind of related to that, and I just like to hear what the immediacy is. Why we need to bring this up in a supplemental budget, and if there's some reason, are we going to gain a lot of value, or what's the reason for doing it now?
Yeah, twofold. I think the replacement of these servers was deferred somewhat during the budget process. In our calculations, we were not aware that the 82 servers that the state has in Novell would no longer be supported. So in trying to do that replacement, we did not calculate that in. So that would have been an error on our part. We didn't have the notice yet from the manufacturer. We heard the rumors. But we were trying to be conservative in the budget process on what we would be replacing, and this kind of caught us off guard.
One more. And finally, I think I know the answer to this, but just because I'm trying to get my arms around a whole bunch of brand new stuff, the depreciation reserve account that this coming out, that works the same way as the cars do? And the agencies are paying to use for the use of the servers?
Madam Chair, that would be correct.
Welcome, Senator Nicholas.
I've been listening to you all day. I didn't think you could throw any bigger softballs to Diane Schober this morning. They were about as high
I'm
as
so
you
glad
know.
You heard those, Mr. Co-Chairman. Too bad you couldn't have texted me and let me know what else you wanted me to ask.
I actually could. Didn't know that you were online.
Okay. What we've done, Mr. Co-Chairman, is we've deferred the market pay study discussion and capital construction until either most probably on Wednesday or Thursday, if that's okay with you. Okay.
Madam Chairman, that concludes the exception request for the IT stuff. I have to say I was pretty impressed as I watched Senator Meyer listen to the explanation, and he actually looked like he understood it. So.
That's because he made
I
some
remember
super
when
coffee.
I first got this job, it took me 2 weeks to learn how to do email. And the secretaries out in the hall didn't think I heard them, but they referred to me as a high-tech redneck. So I can do email, and it's a valuable tool.
I had one further question for Mr. Hartwig. Have you expanded your timeline on the changes that you're making with IT, within A&I, with the state services that you're providing? I mean, over the past couple of years, you've given us advice on where you were going with your innovation technology changes
I'm not
to
sure.
serve agencies.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I am following the question.
Okay, and when we've had a particular outside vendor that you've been working with on providing services, and I can just leave this alone and we'll bring this back later. It's okay. We'll just stop.
Madam Chairman, with mm-hmm. that, I believe the balance of this A&I request has to do with CapCon stuff, which we'll discuss when we have the whole CapCon budget on Wednesday or Thursday.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Cathcart. Carolyn, can you tell me what the status is on military? Are they still? They're waiting for us. Okay. So I think we'll just proceed ahead. I want to thank you all for being here, and we'll see you later in the week.